Now we continue our sermons in the book of Proverbs and turning this evening to begin to read in chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And for this evening we're not really going much beyond the first verse, but reading down to verse 14. Proverbs chapter 11, especially the first verse, but reading for this evening the first 14 verses of that book. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbour, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is nothing. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbour, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Amen. May God bless his word to us. In this short proverb that we come to look at this evening in our sermons and proverbs, we have what you might call a tremendous indicator to the heart and the mind of Almighty God when it comes to things like his justice and his righteousness, his unchangeable holiness in this world of ours. And you have also a tremendous insight into the love and mercy of God when it comes to the gospel and the things of the gospel in Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, as you can see, the issue that Solomon is dealing with there in that proverb under the Holy Spirit of God is the issue of a false balance, or a false set of weights, as we would say today, a false set of scales. And as he says very pointedly and very directly there, that a false set of scales, a false balance, is an abomination in the eyes of the Lord our God, with whom we have to do. It's only a just weight, as he says there, a true set of weights, used on a true set of scales that are accounted and looked on as a delight in the eyes of the Lord. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And as I say, within the compass of that proverb, you do have what you might call an indicator, a tremendous indicator, to how God views issues like holiness and righteousness and justice. And also you do have an insight into the gospel that was to come in Jesus Christ, his Son, displaying all the love and all the mercy of God that would come from that same God of righteousness and holiness and all justice. And in our time together for this evening then, it's really that proverb that I want us to look at under those two headings. First of all, as it does give an indication or stands as an indicator to God's justice and holiness and righteousness and so on. And also, of course, how it does give an insight in the gospel, into the gospel of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. First of all, then, in saying that it stands as an indicator to the justice of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the integrity of God, all of those kind of terms, what you have to bear in mind, really, my friends, is this, that this reference in the Proverbs of Solomon is only one of many, many, many numerous references along those self-same lines in the whole of the Word of God. Bear with me for a minute or two that we establish that and see that to be the case. Now, when God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, bringing them on their way to the land of Canaan, when God began to deliver his law to the children of Israel, the civil law, those things of legislation by which they were to live and glorify his name, The Lord takes up this whole issue of a just balance and right weights and so forth. Listen to what he says. Thou shalt not have in thy bag, he says, diverse weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days might be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not have in thy house, thou shalt not have in thy shop, thou shalt not have in thy trading place, says the Lord, a great weight and a little weight, a small weight and a great weight. In other words, you won't have such a weight that when you're buying something, you'll use one kind of a weight in buying, and when you're selling something, you'll use an entirely different kind of weight in your selling. Thou shalt not have in your bag, your baggage, your house, your shop, your trading place, thou shalt not have a small weight and a great weight. But, says the Lord, thou shalt have a just weight, and a perfect and just measure shalt thou have. And so right at the outset of the children of Israel being given the laws of God, the rules of God, the legislation of God, right at the outset, God takes up this issue of a just balance or a non-just balance. He deals with the questions of weights and measures within the nation of Israel, and he sets before them precisely how they are to view things and how they are to act as under his directive. Now, what's set forth, first of all, in the law of God is then taken up in all the prophets of God. It's spoken about in the Psalms of God. It tumbles into the Gospels of God in the New Testament, into all the epistles of God in the New Testament scriptures of God. Now, again, for example, in the book of Amos, when Amos speaks about those people who are yearning for the Sabbath day to be over, those people to whom the Sabbath day is an absolute pain so that they can't endure it at all. There are plenty like that. You know, my friends, there are people who are longing in their own eyes to go to heaven. But you see, heaven is an eternal Sabbath. Heaven is an eternal Lord's Day. And oh my, if the Lord's Day is a pain to anyone here for the brief hours in which the Lord calls us to observe it, what would heaven be like to some people but like a veritable hell to them? So these people in Israel, they were longing for the Sabbath day to be over, to get back to their business, because that was the great desire of their heart. And so they were saying, would that the Sabbath were over, that we may sell corn and wheat, making the measure small and the money great through falsifying the balance. And so you get the same condemnation in Micah, in Hosea, in Ezekiel, in all the prophets. You go into the Gospels. You remember how our Lord spoke in the Gospels, give and it shall be given unto you, he says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For with what measure ye meet, he says, it shall be measured unto you again. Just measure, just balance. And when the Lord's Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he says, let no man go beyond and defraud his brother, he says. And in writing to the Philippians, those famous words, finally, brethren, he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and on and on and on throughout the pages of the Word of God, even in the last book of the Word of God, the book of the Revelation, where you get that graphic picture that John sees under the Spirit of God of the black horse coming. And on the black horse, he says, there sat one, I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. And you see that graphic, memorable picture, my friends, of that fourth man of the apocalypse, as it were, coming forth with the balance in his hand. And wherever you look in the Word of God, in the whole biblical scope of the Word of God, in the law, in the prophets, in the Psalms, in the Gospels, in the epistles, in the Revelation right at the end, there is pushed forward this picture of justness, of rightness, of integrity when it comes to balances, weights and measures, all of these issues.
So God then gives legislation, he gives imagery, he gives pictures, he gives commandments. And when Solomon here, by the Spirit of God, takes up this particular proverb, he is simply, if you like, adding his weight to the whole question of weights and measures. And he is setting before us the truth of God, which really does stand as an indicator to how God views things in righteousness, justness, holiness, and how he himself is a God of righteousness and holiness and justice. Now, how is it an indicator, my friends? Well, I'm sure that's probably obvious to you. Should be obvious to our hearts and our minds. And it's in this way. If God demands and commands that men should have just balances, that is, scales that weigh accurately towards one another, then mustn't it be the case, my friends, that God himself is one who has just balances and right scales and right measurements and true weights? You see that, don't you? If there are so many things spoken about in the Word of God with regards to a just balance and true scales and accurate weights, if a just balance is commended and a non-just balance is condemned, my friends, then such is the Word of God that it's telling us clearly that God, who delights in a just balance and abominates a non-just balance, he is one himself who has an absolute scale of justice that is impeccable, unchanging, totally accurate, and shall weigh precisely what he deigns it to weigh. That's what the Word of God is saying. Doesn't the Word of God say this, that God is a just God? He is a God of all justice. He is a God of all righteousness. He is a God of all integrity. And that fact is not only clearly declared in words in the pages of the Word of God, it is clearly displayed so many times in the pages of the Word of God. I mean, you get all of those laws and utterances and illustrations and all the rest of it with regards to a just balance and a just weight. That's to press us up to the fact, my friends, that the God who commands men to have such things, he himself is a God who has such things at his own disposal. Without a shadow of a doubt, when God gave that piece of legislation to the children of Israel, he gave it to them for their good. He gave it to them for a way that they might live peaceably among one another when they were on the face of this earth of ours. The fact that they didn't do it doesn't take away for a moment the fact that that's why God gave it. And don't we know that, my friends? You know, it would be a much happier world, if you like, speaking idealistically, but it would be a much happier world if people learned to give 16 ounces to the pound in all things, or whatever the metrical equivalent is. And don't you know, my friends, there's an awful lot of sadness, an awful lot of irritation, an awful lot of anger caused through a non-just balance in a dozen and one ways. If somebody thinks they've been overcharged or underchanged, as the case might be, my, isn't there anger, isn't there frustration, isn't there the desire to get back? So when God gives the legislation, he gives it for the good and for the harmony of his people of Israel of long ago. That's not the only reason why God gave such things. And when God gave those things, my friends, they weren't only a direction as to how men should act towards one another. It was a reflection of how he is in his own being and in his whole character. And the God who demands, you see, fair trading among men is the God, my friends, who is absolutely impeccable in his being, in his justice, in his righteousness, in his holiness. When he comes to deal with men and women, with people in this world and in eternity. And so when the Word of God takes up the issue, an issue such like that as that, that a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight, it's indicating to us that the God who gives such words, the God who makes such laws, the God who demands such actions, he himself, my friends, is such a God and we're to understand him as such a God.
Will you ever forget that famous incident in the book of Daniel, that man King Belshazzar? And I don't think you could speak about balances or weights or anything else without including it. You remember King Belshazzar was the man that got all his cronies around him that night, that he was going to have a drunken orgy in his palace. And they went along that line and they got well supped up as far as the wine was concerned. And then they thought they'd get even a wee bit more extravagant in their drunkenness, which is usually the case. And so they sent down to the temple of the Lord God for the vessels of the temple that had been taken from the house of the Lord God in Jerusalem. And they brought up the temple vessels, the holy vessels of God, into their drunken orgy to drink their wine out of those holy vessels. And just when they were in the midst of that, you remember, suddenly there appeared a handwriting on the wall, and the white plaster wall reflected in the light of the tabernacle candlestick that lit up that wall. And that writing they couldn't understand. It was suddenly silent in the banqueting hall. And so eventually Daniel was called for. And Daniel came in to interpret the writing. And when he had told Belshazzar what his sin was, and in fact this was God coming to deal with his sin, those famous words, "Belshazzar," he says, "thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." Not in men's balances, not in the balances of your own heart and your own mind, but you're weighed in the balances of a holy and a righteous and a just God, and you're found wanting. Your weight is short for what God requires of you. It was Belshazzar's sin, my friend. Oh, you say, well, it was taking the holy vessels out of the temple. Indeed, that's what it was. That was the particular sin. But it was only an illustration, or it was only an incident of a general sin that belongs to each and every human heart that hasn't accepted Christ, was the sin of sacrilege. Sacrilege is really taking that which is holy and putting it to a non-holy use. And you see, when he took those vessels out of from the temple of the Lord God, he was putting those holy vessels to a non-holy use. That was sacrilege. But my friends, God has set something in this world far, far more holy than any of the holy vessels of his temple of old. And that's his holy son. You remember what the Holy Spirit said to Mary? That thing which shall be born of you shall be called holy. And my friends, listen very clearly. God has set his son in the world to be a savior. Not to be primarily a teacher of morals or an example, but to be a savior. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you see, if a person hasn't taken Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners, and by the grace of God employed Jesus Christ in their life as the Savior for their sins, they have taken that holy thing of God and they are putting him to a non-holy use, that sacrilege. My friends, that man Belshazzar that night committed sacrilege in his own way. But anyone who refuses the Holy Son of God as the Savior of their soul, that person is committing sacrilege. Therefore, that same pronouncement is made on account of that. You're weighed in the balances and found one. Oh, you say, but yes, I haven't accepted Christ, but I've done such and such and such and such and such and such. No, no, says the Lord. My balances are absolutely accurate. My balances are absolutely precise. I am a holy God. I am a just God. I have sent my Son into the world to die for sinners. And if you haven't accepted my Son as your Savior, as a sinner, you're weighed in the balances. And you're found wanting. And my friends, the Word of God presses us up to it time and time again that there is only one way for any of us to stand before God,
And that's in the light of his word that tells of us as son and the acceptance of his son to our souls. God is a just God. As we'll see later on, he's a just God and a savior. But for now, he's a just God. Without his scales, my friends, without any falsification such as they were in the days of Amos, without any corruption, without any inaccuracy, God is a just God, and that just God acts in accordance with his justice and his holiness. And the word of God says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It says that he shall in no wise clear the guilty. And when God makes those pronouncements in his justice and righteousness and holiness, there's no going back on God's word with regards to those things. And those things shall indeed be brought to pass. Now, please realize that. Take it into your heart, my friends, that God is unchangeable in that sense. And God is unchangeable as far as his righteousness and his holiness, his integrity. All of these things that make God to be God are reflected in the things that he demands men to be. And if he tells men towards one another to be just and accurate, to deal rightly, to have their balances and their weights true, then be sure of it that God is precisely like that in his own being, in his own justice, in his own makeup. Now, let's have a look then at those events in the gospel, of course, the other side of things. And how the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're given an insight into that also in the very words that are spoken. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Along with the justice is the mercy. And that's the whole of the gospel, my friends. As the word of God says, he is a just God and a savior. Just, says the word of God, and the justifier of all them that believe. Well, you say then it doesn't matter that if God is the one thing, then he is also the other. So I'll opt for that side of him that is the other and things will be all right. But you see, my friends, really what we have to understand in the insight in the gospel that we're given, when you think in terms of accurate weight and just balances and all the rest, is the way that God is a just God and yet a Savior. And you see, he is a Savior in Jesus Christ, his Son, my friends, not by changing the accuracy of his balance, but by meeting it. By meeting it. God doesn't become a Savior by setting aside his justice, by setting aside his righteousness, by setting aside the fact that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. But God becomes a Savior, my friends, through coming himself in Jesus Christ, his Son, to make up all the differences that are against us in the balances that are weighed against us. And when you think of the word of God and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, above all things, think in terms of Christ Jesus coming into this world, my friends, to meet all the demands of the justice and the righteousness and the holiness of God, in order that there might be mercy in the gospel for everyone who believes. God didn't change things, you see. God didn't say, now I have a set of balances on which I weigh every sinner, and the weighing of every sinner on my set of balances condemns that man or that woman or that young person. Therefore, I'll change my set of balances. God didn't do that. God, my friends, in Jesus Christ, his Son, came, and he stood on the other end of the balance for sinners, to make those balances balance out in the way that God desired to grant mercy and to grant love towards sinners. It's that great truth of the gospel bound up in that word substitution. that it was our Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, who came into this world of ours to do everything for sinners that were condemned in the eyes of Almighty God, because the scales of God's justice had absolutely clattered to the ground in their condemnation. Not just, you see, that we need a wee bit of weight put on the side of the scale for us to make us right with God. That's not the case at all. The scales are completely down against us. And it's Christ himself who comes and stands on the scales in order to make those accurate scales of God to come into such a balance that God can then extend his mercy and his love. He never violated his holiness or his justice. What he did, my friends, he provided one who would fill up all our unrighteousness and all our sin by taking all the condemnation that was against us in his own body on the cross. He didn't take a part of it, didn't take a bit of it. He took it all, because we need it all to be taken and borne on the shoulders of Christ. You see, there's only one explanation as to why Christ Jesus came into the world and lived in the way that he did, and yet died in the way that he did. That hymn that we sung earlier on, "For me, Lord Jesus, thou hast died, and I have died in thee." He took the cup, he took the load, he took the rod, he took everything of God's justice that was against us, and he bore it. God never set aside his justice. God never changed the accuracy of his scales. God never impaired his holiness for one second. But he exercised all the wrath of his justice against sin on Jesus Christ, his Son. That's how he is a just God yet, and the justifier of them that believe. God didn't change, my friends, in granting the gospel of salvation. And the God who didn't change in the granting of salvation is the God who hasn't changed in the condemnation of the sinner. God can't change. God's holiness cannot change. God's integrity cannot be impinged. God's holiness cannot be set aside. And so in granting the gospel, you see, he remains absolutely just, absolutely righteous, absolutely holy, and yet absolutely merciful. He sent his Son into the world. He that delights in a just balance, my friends, provided such a way that his balance could be just, that although the sinner was right down there in condemnation, by the sending of his Son into the world to stand on the other side of the balance for sinners, then those sinners could be free and could be forgiven for all their sins. The scales have not changed. The scales did not change when Christ came into the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ simply, by God's grace towards us, adjusted those scales on our behalf and for our good. And will you realize this, my friends, that in a sense, it really goes further than that. Because God didn't simply provide somebody to make up things for us. It was God himself in Christ who came. And there's no way over that. You see, if somebody owns a shop, say, and a person comes into the shop and smashes something and breaks something so that the loss has to be made up, it would be one thing for the shopkeeper to say to the person, "Well, you just go away scot-free. I'll see that the loss is made up." And then he turns to one of his assistants and he says, "I'm going to take it out of your wages at the weekend." Now, that wouldn't be very just or merciful or anything else. For the shopkeeper, my friends, really to remain just, as it were, and yet to be merciful towards the person who had broken the thing, he must be able to say to the person, "Go scot-free for doing it. I'll take the damage myself. I'll bear the loss myself." And you see, that fine point that's always to be realized in the gospel, that when our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to bear all our loss and the wrath of God against sin, he didn't come as someone apart from God and other than God. He came as God, the Son of God and God the Son. Because, my friends, only then could God be just if he himself bore all the sting and the rod and the cup and the wrath to grant the mercy. And that's what Paul means in those stupendous words when he charges the elders at the church of Ephesus to guard the church of God, he says, which he hath purchased with his own blood. 'Tis mystery all. The immortal dies. And it was the Son of God, yes, but God the Son who came to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. And my unconverted person, you do this, will you, this evening? You have a look at your eternal soul. And bear in mind this one thing, that it took that work of God himself in bearing sin and transgression in himself in order to save a soul. And in that way then, you try by God's grace to evaluate the preciousness of your never dying soul. You see, the devil comes and will tell you differently. In fact, later on in Proverbs, there's a lovely one of these wee ironic words. You know, the word of God very often will have us to smile at ourselves so that gently the arrow pierces into our souls. And it's one of those words from the marketplace. And says Solomon, here's the call, it is not, or it's nothing. It is nothing, saith the buyer. But when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. You see that lovely wee word? There's somebody in the marketplace bargaining, you see. And they say, oh, well, it's not worth very much. I wouldn't give you much for that. It's not worth a thing. And then when he gets it, away he goes to his friends and he says, you see the bargain I got? And I fairly pulled the wool over that character's eyes in the marketplace. That's what the devil does. The devil, my friends, tries to persuade men and women that their never-dying soul is nothing. Tis not. But once he grabs hold of it, then he boasteth. You take Christ's evaluation, my friends. When Christ says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And if there's any way that you want to sum up the value of your never-dying soul, the value, my friends, of the salvation that Christ has wrought for you, then you see it in the way that it was done and had to be done in order that God still be a just God and yet a Savior to all them that believe. And you see then the emphasis to press home the fact that God himself has balances that are accurate. Do you think God has changed? Do you think the God of the Word of God is different today than he was in the reaches of eternity before there was anything created and made? I tell you, my friends, God is not different. You see, always that barrier that we're up against in the things of the gospel, that people breathe in the atmosphere in which we live. And the very atmosphere in which we live, the very air that we breathe today, the whole atmosphere of fraud and double dealing and all that. My friends, the news absolutely bristles with that kind of thing. How do you convince people today of honesty, of accuracy in the balance, of just weights? But God is like that. God hasn't changed in his accuracy. God hasn't changed in his balances. God hasn't changed by his scales. And he is still a just God. And a just God who said that the soul that sinneth it shall surely die is the just God, my friends, who will weigh every sinner on his balance and he will do what he has said according to the accuracy of that balance. Apart from Christ. And you see what's required, my friends. Oh, it's to get Christ onto the balance for you. You see, it's all offset. And you're in the place of condemnation if you don't have Christ. But if with the hand of faith you get Christ onto that balance where you are, then the scales are adjusted. And God, in looking on Christ who bore all the brunt of our sin, is still a just God because he has exercised his justice on himself and has granted mercy in the gospel from himself. And you see, if you've got that, my friends, it challenges, meant to challenge our hearts, surely, that this God is the same God forever and ever, and yet to have this God as our Savior is to comfort our hearts. Indeed, it's to constrain our hearts. You know, even in the Old Testament law, when God gave his legislation, so many of those things he set before the children of Israel, that they were to be before one another and before him on account of what he had been towards them. And another place where he speaks about the business of weights and measures and all the rest, listen to what he says. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, he says, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Why should you have a right set of scales in your house or in your shop or in the market or whatever? Because you're redeemed, says the Lord. Because you are a redeemed people. And my friends, that absolute moral demand of the gospel, that when Jesus Christ saves our souls, then the love of Christ which saves our souls is the love of Christ which constrains us to do those things that are well-pleasing in his sight. And so, my friends, you have all the backing of that as well. If it is God himself who has met what his balance demands and grants his mercy, then it's met, you see. If it's an accurate balance and he has made it to be set in our favor, then it's accurately set in our favor. What old Augustus Toplady says in that hymn, if thou hast my discharge procured and freely in my place endured the whole of wrath divine. He has paid to the utmost farthing, he says, whate'er his people owed. There's not a wee bit to put on the scale, you see. My friends, the scales in God's holy sight now are right. Christ has made them to balance right on the part of the sinner. And he has done it perfectly, accurately, in accordance with all the Lord's holiness towards us. And in the light of that then, of course, we're to adjust our scales and get things right in our life. Remember old Moses. Moses, you know, way back there in the Old Testament, he got out the scales and he weighed things up right. He thought of Egypt and the pleasures of sin for a season and being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and all of these things. He put that on one side of his scales. And then he put in the other side of the scales the reproach of Christ, says Paul. The reproach of Christ. Oh, my, my, my. How could those two things ever balance? Surely, my friends, if he puts the pleasures of Egypt and the sin for a season and the esteem of being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, surely, my friends, that scale's going to really clatter down in favor of that. And suffering for Christ, that's going to go lighter than there. That's not what happened. The exact opposite happened, says the Lord's apostle. He chose rather the reproach of Christ because he had an eye to the recompense. He got his balances right, not according to this world, but according to that which shall be. Doesn't Paul say the same thing? He says, my friends, look, you get out your set of scales and weigh things up right. And even if you have to suffer for Christ in the present world, I count it, he says, the suffering of the present time not to be compared with that far more exceeding and abundant weight of glory. And that's getting our scales right. And that's getting things, my friends, in the light of the scales of God's justice and mercy towards us, is getting our own life adjusted in the same kind of thinking and behavior. A proverb. Remember what a proverb is? An earthly story with a heavenly meaning, a condensed piece of truth. Well, says Solomon, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. God delights in scales that are accurate. God delights in fair trading. God delights in giving 16 ounces to the pound, because he is holy, because he is righteous, because in all his ways he is impeccable. My friends, when it comes to his justice, a just God is just that, and must be just that. And yet this just God has shown a way to be a savior, not in any way by setting aside his justice, holiness, righteous integrity, but my friends, in himself, bearing all the brunt of our unrighteousness and sin, in that way, he sets himself in Christ his Son as the Savior of all them that believe. And may we know it, accept it, believe it in our hearts, my friends. And do that. Do have a look at things. Don't have a look at things with regards to your own eyesight or your own heart. Get pressed up to God's word. Get pressed up to God's truth. And Solomon has a lovely wee word later on in this book of Proverbs. He says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. You see, ask me, am I all right? Of course I'm all right. That's not the balances that God uses. God weighs, my friends, the inner man. God weighs the heart, and God weighs the mind. So you see, if you want an assessment of your weight before God, then, my friends, take what God says about it. And the Word of God says we have all come short. All come short. All. You know what all means? All means everybody. Everybody, my friends, don't try and squeeze out of that. Everybody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's not one of us weighed in the balances, but we are found wanting. What then? Then it's the gospel. Then it's Christ. Then it's what God has provided, so that he is still a just God and the justifier of them that believe. Have you believed? Have you believed that Jesus Christ has died for your sins, has taken away your sins? Is he your personal Savior? Is he the one that you worship and by his grace endeavor to serve? Because that's what it means, my friends. That's what it means. May God give us grace this night to know that he is our Savior in that way.